Google is now a verb and a noun, and we've added it, or Webster has added it. I guess other dictionaries have. But
Google was actually a word for something, but not with the E at the end. Damn, I can't even, it's hard for me to look that up. What is a Google?
Or tweet, these kinds of things that we've come up with.
You can no longer look Google up. You can't Google Google because it gives you Google instead of Google.
Can you say what is a Google?
Give it
an article.
Oh, there we go. Let's try that.
If you Google Google on Google, it creates a time
Google
paradox. So you just can't do that.
That's creepy.
In some areas, Google is an expletive. So
careful.
I thought that it was G-O-O-G-L, but it's G-O-O-G-O-L.
Google.
Not to be confused with Nikolai Gogol.
Yeah, don't do that.
This time on the Plutopia podcast, we explore the use and misuse of language. John Scoop and Susie take a deep dive into political language, the voices of Christian nationalism, the January 6th hearings and Liz Cheney, Donald Trump's language, and much more.
We were going to talk about language tonight, and I have decided that in order to do that most effectively, I will actually use language.
Oh my God, what a great idea.
Well, that certainly helps with our audio that I am mixing here. So otherwise, I'd just be useless. Well, I'm useless anyway, so.
No, not true.
Yes, true.
Yeah, this is Susie's subject, so.
Oh, Susie. Well, I was a suggestion. That's
I know who to blame.
I was just thinking about how interesting, I'm learning Spanish. I speak French. I'm fluent in French. And it's interesting to learn another Latin language via the first Latin language. But what's really annoying is the genders. So, like in Spanish, one word is going to be feminine and or masculine. And then in French, you would expect the same thing, the same word to be masculine and feminine, but it does not always work out like that. So it's, I don't understand the rules, but I can say that I think we're going to have a real problem. And I've said this a couple of years ago, that I think gendered languages are going to have a real problem integrating the trans pronouns situation. And in fact, I don't know if they'll do it. I really don't. I know that in France, they still use the word transsexual, So I don't know.
Wait a minute.
I just took us into a different universe.
I am all that's a lot of me just going on there.
Well, I don't know about language. I speak English as a second language, and I don't have a first. So,
well, I also think it's interesting how some languages are dead, and then a lot of people get angry, or the grammar, I hate to use this, but grammar Nazis, or people who are just dead set on making sure that they're faithful to the English language the way the French are about their language. In fact, they wanted to change the EU's national language to French. He's still pushing for that. But
everybody should speak English.
Yeah, well, they do now. Everybody,
that's
I think everybody does.
Because I don't speak another language.
Well,
I've
exactly
studied a bunch of languages, but I forgot them all.
And so you're obviously not the asshole for not knowing how to speak another language. It's that guy over there who's speaking the other language. He needs to learn English, damn it.
Yeah, you go outside this country and you'll find many people who speak English. But in this country, you find very few people who'll speak anything but English.
Yeah, there's a lot of Spanish speakers, especially here, And I've seen some videos. I have never seen this actually happen. I've heard people say it, but not seen it explode. You know, like speak, you're in America, speak English. We speak English in this country. And it's just, the stupidity is astounding. These people don't even know that we don't have a national language. They think that you have to speak English to be here, which France is going to do. If you want to live there, move there, you have to learn how to, you have to already know how to speak French.
Speak American.
Right. Yeah, I seem to recall. I mean, I watched Emily in Paris, and I know how hard it is to get people to speak English to you. Mm-hmm. There, it takes several episodes to get them to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Usually. So when you're in your third or fourth episode in France, I think then people will start making more sense to you because they will speak to you in your language.
Yes. Yes. And it's interesting also because like Gaelic, you know, is a dead language. If you don't keep adding words like Google is now a verb and a noun and a, you know, we've added it, or Webster has added it. I guess other dictionaries have, but well, I mean,
Google was actually a word for something, but not with the E at the end. Damn, I can't even, it's hard for me to look that up. What is a Google?
Or tweet, you know, these kinds of things that we've come up with.
You can no longer look Google up. You can't Google Google because it gives you Google instead of Google. Funny.
Can you say what is a Google?
You know,
give it an article.
Oh, there we go. Let's try
if you
that.
Google on Google, it creates a time Google. Paradox. So you just can't do that.
That's creepy.
In some areas, Google is an expletive. So
careful.
I thought that it was G-O-O-G-L, but it's G-O-O-G-O-L.
Google.
Not to be confused with Nikolai Gogol.
Yeah, don't do that.
So it's the large number 10 to the 100th power.
As you can see there, it
covers a lot of ground here. There's a lot of zeros behind that one. That's how much money I would like to have.
That would work for me. I mean, even half of that.
And I suppose the guys who run Google probably do have that much money.
I would bet that they do. Excuse me. My dog is using her own language. Joni, just one second. I think there's a squirrel.
Chase that squirrel.
What language does the squirrel speak?
Squirreling in. I have no idea. I'm just trying to figure out what my language is. Not really.
Well, do you speak troll?
No, I don't even speak Klingon, and all my geeky friends can't deal with that. Can you?
Troll is a very interesting language. It includes terms like woke.
What is this language?
Let's go, Brandon. Troll.
Oh, those trolls. Okay.
You can speak troll?
I was thinking about the ones that live under the bridges and have those.
Yeah.
Make America great again.
Well, yeah, some of those trolls have weird features too.
Yes, they do. Did you hear the Matt Gaetz thing and our Texas young activist got into a so Gaetz was at Turning Point the other day in front of a bunch of students for some
reason. What is Turning Point?
Turning Point is a religious kind of organization for the it's like the CPAC, but on steroids.
They're religious and they let Matt Gaetz in?
And he spoke to the teenagers.
They let him be alone with teenagers?
He got up and spoke to and talked to him on the, he was horrible. The guy. I know, how horrible is that? So, but he was up there and he was saying things like all these people, all these women who are worried about abortions, nobody wants to impregnate you if you're ugly. If you're 5'2 and weigh 350 pounds, nobody's going to want to have sex with you, you know, that kind of thing. And so this young woman, I don't know if she's still in high school. I think she's out of high school now, but she took him to task and for body shaming, and because he used her picture and when he tweeted about it. later that day. He tweeted her picture after, like, look at who's all, who these people are upset because I said they were this tall and this fat and now they're upset and everybody's, and it was a body shaming thing. And he actually used this young girl's picture in a tweet about it. And
that
she
has a bit of a Jordan Peterson vibe.
Well, he's definitely the poster child for cluelessness. Speaking of cluelessness, Clarence Thomas can't go and speak at his alma mater because 10,000 students signed a petition saying, keep guy away. And he canceled his appearance.
He went to school somewhere?
Time. Yeah, the School of Hard Knocks or Hard Knotheads.
Oh,
I'm not sure where he went.
I wonder how he'll vote on the interracial marriage.
Yeah, talk about your catch 22 and a half there.
What a fucking moron. God, I hate that guy.
So the thing that I really wanted to talk about tonight was like the perversion of language
by
political people.
Oh, yeah. The hijacking the way we defund the police, that kind of stuff. That's awful. That's an awful thing to try to get people to shout.
Yeah. Well, but you know, people on the left really have to watch it now when we come up with any kind of buzzword, because the problem with buzzwords is it can be turned around and turned into a weapon against you. That's what they did with woke, with, you know.
Woke is the one I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
Because woke was a perfectly good word that meant, according to Wikipedia, what it meant was alert to racial prejudice and discrimination. Right?
Yeah.
And the right decided, as they do, I mean, it's sort of like making liberal a bad word. So now we're going to make woke a bad word. So they started using woke as an insult. And kind of the way they defined it is following an intolerant and moralizing ideology. It's sort of like politically correct, you know, like everything has to be politically correct or they're going to cancel you. And then they took this other term, cancel culture, which the left had used about the right, really. And the right started using it about the left and started saying basically that there's all of the mythology there. And I say it's a mythology. There's some truth to it, that in academic institutions, the left have sort of had a lot of power over time and that they're trying to cancel things like appearances by people on college campuses.
And, well, yeah, like that Jonathan Spencer or whatever is out in he got shut down in a couple of different places when Trump was first running. Yeah, but
you know, that doesn't, the question of whether there's actually a culture of occurrences of that. It is true. There are people who will call for somebody to be disinvited to give a talk. And sometimes the institution will disinvite them and sometimes they won't. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that just happens on the left. I don't think it's a left thing. And the other thing about it is that I'm wondering what term we should use for pulling books out of libraries, you know, for removing books from schools.
Well, and
Removing curriculum that you don't agree with or that you don't like.
And in what way do you define and speak to these particular people who are white supremacists, racists, misogynists? How do you speak to them in a way that makes them think that you are on their side? And then you could kind of try to walk them off the cliff. I just don't think there's any, you can't talk to somebody who has those kind of beliefs. We're past that. That Rubicon has been passed. It really has. It's over. We don't talk anymore. There's no.
Well, I mean, I don't think that you ever could very successfully have a conversation with somebody who's pretty set on their beliefs and that's left or right or whatever.
It's not been,
I mean,
like
the left
this,
does though. Some really weird shit too. I think it's all crazy. I mean, I think this whole idea of having a left and a right and all of this political division and ideological delusion, to me, none of it makes sense. And I don't really know why we should.
There's a whole new political party coming out. Did you hear this?
Yeah, I saw that today.
It's called Forward. And it's the Republicans who are still Republicans. And I mean, I figured something was going to give because.
Well, I kept saying that they should do that.
Yep. Well, and they're all either defecting to the Democrat side. And then I guess people like Manchin would go to the Forward group and Mitt Romney and those guys, Mike Pence.
Oh, wait a minute. What I'm seeing here is that this is actually. A party formed by Andrew Yang and Christine Todd Whitman.
Yeah, they were.
And that it's intended for both Democrats, for Democrats that don't want to go so far to the left and for Republicans who don't want to join the crazy train.
Yeah, they exactly. were out about that today. And they're basically trying to get the people who just don't feel comfortable in either of the existing political buckets. They want to try to. If there is such a thing as a mid-ground, they want to get those people involved from both the Republicans and Democrats and Libertarians and whatever, which would make for a really weird party.
I don't think that those folks coalesce very well together. I don't know how long that would last. I mean, that's like, I get it, wanting a third party, a viable third party, but those things don't go together.
Yeah, a lot of people were just observing when all of that mm-hmm. came out today that third parties have had a very sketchy history in this country. I mean, they come and they make a lot of noise and then a whole people go, what happened to them? Where did they go? Ross Perot, any Perotistas still out there?
I mean, I hear that the way the U.S. is set up, that there has to be just two political parties that are actually really functional parties. But I don't understand why that has to be the case.
Well,
I mean,
not
why don't we have a more parliamentary form of governance where, you know, you have a number of parties and you form coalitions and that sort of thing.
If you look at how governments like in Israel, in Germany, in a lot of the European countries, they have a multitude of parties. And the only way they can form a government is get a number of those to come together and, you know, do a coalition. And, you know, there are a number of countries that have done okay with that. I mean, there's some that
we would have to really rewrite a whole lot of stuff, man, that talks about both houses of Congress. And, you know, I mean, that's like constitutional.
You don't have to change that. I mean, you don't have to change the, you might have, I guess a parliament is structured a little differently than the kind
there'd
of
have to be some change. I mean, you'd
branches
have to change
of government
language.
That we have now, but you could still have a number of parties. I mean, you really don't have to have just two parties. And this idea of the one party is supposedly liberal and the other party is supposedly conservative. I mean, speaking of language, as we were going to do, this word conservative has been pretty well distorted. The people that I see who call themselves conservatives now they're not. I mean, in the sense of conservative that I think prevailed for decades, centuries, whatever, I don't think they're conservatives at all. I'm not even sure what they are. Is Donald Trump a conservative?
Oh, he's an idiot.
In what way is he a conservative?
The whole idea of conservatives, yeah, my dad was a dyed-in-the-wool conservative, and he would I'm very sure, not have been able to deal with any of these so-called conservatives today. I mean, it's a whole, you know, in those days it was basically pro-business, you know, keep your nose to the grindstone, work and keep care of your family, that kind of thing. It wasn't all this really obscene stuff that the so-called conservatives are promoting now. You know, they're anti-everything that they're not into.
Yeah, and the, like, they're even, when they turn on themselves, like the rhino thing, that's an interesting, now they've got this commercial, I don't remember who the guy is, if he's running for, I know he's running for something, but he was talking about how they're going to go rhino hunting, and he's got his a gun and he's like loading it and talking about rhino hunting. And I'm like, at what point does this become illegal? At what point is this threatening? I mean, that's terrifying to me. That language is scary.
Yeah. I have friends in South Texas who are talk about dinos. Democrats in name only, because there are a number of them that have cropped up down there.
Well, Manchin, I'll tell you that. He's one. I wish he'd just move on over.
Why? Then we wouldn't have a majority.
Well, because we rarely do, because he votes against it most of the time.
Yeah,
well,
yeah, but think of what the change would be. I just wish McConnell would be the majority leader again.
No, I don't mean I want that seat gone. I want someone else in it. I just don't want Joe Manchin in it, because I think he blocks a lot of things that he shouldn't.
Don't talk bad about Joe Manchin. He just came around today.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. That's like saying don't talk bad about Liz Cheney. Nope.
Came around too, kind of,
but yeah, just because you're doing the right thing doesn't mean you get a cookie.
Who would have thought that a member of the Cheney family would be doing anything vaguely palatable to people like us? But you know, the stuff that she's done on the January 6th committee, it's been pretty impressive considering her history and her family's history.
Well, I mean, you know, again, to me, at this point, it's more like, why should we give you accolades for doing the right thing? You're just doing your job. That's your job. That's it. It's, you know, nobody goes to Whole Foods and, you know, tells the cashier back there, you know, you're really...
Thanks for growing all those good vegetables from.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense. It's like, I know who she is.
Thanks so much for checking me out.
Yeah.
I didn't really expect anybody to do that.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
I don't know. But on the other hand, when you have a number of people who... are ready to completely reject and overthrow the system of governance and government that we've had for so many years that we all kind of believe in and have dedicated ourselves to. The people who oppose that really are, I mean, you know, the enemy of your enemy has to be your friend in a situation like that.
Hey, I'm, like I said, I'm grateful for Liz Cheney. I'm very grateful for her. I'm grateful for John Roberts, but that doesn't mean that I don't know who they are and the way they vote and how Liz Cheney didn't come around to seeing that gay people were okay until she got political pressure.
She got a lot of pressure from her sister too.
They didn't speak. And then she came around because she saw everybody else was okay with it. I mean, even her father was okay with it, but it would have cost her political points. So she couldn't be. So I know who she is. You know, I'm super happy she's doing the right thing, but it just gets down to, you know, like, like that Matt Damon thing when he said, hey, during the Me Too movement, hey, what about all of us guys who don't do that, sexually harass women? What about us? And we're just like, what do you fucking want? A trophy for that? I don't understand where you're coming from on that.
I'd like a trophy.
I'll bet.
Well, I mean, it shocks me sometimes how people are actually behaving. And for instance, your point there about men who aren't misogynists shouldn't get a cookie for that. But I'm really shocked at the extent of misogyny that I'm seeing in the world that, I don't know, I think I was kind of, maybe I just willfully looked the other way. Mm-hmm. I'm only just now starting to understand how really terrible some people have been. Some men have been, men who have power and who wield their power in ways that to me are actually just kind of shocking, you know?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think I maybe know a handful of women who have not been sexually harassed at their job. Very few.
Yeah, you know, it's like, I guess for a long time, I thought that those things were rare, that they were the exception and not the rule. And now I realize that a lot closer to the rule rather than the exception.
Yeah.
I've done stuff before that I'm not proud of, but I don't think I ever went, you know. Well, I know that I never behaved the way some of these guys are apparently behaving. And I just kind of think it should be hard to live with yourself if you behave in that way. But I don't know. Some people just see the world differently, I guess.
Well, we've all been conditioned to believe that women are second-class citizens and that locker room talk is okay. And, you know, as long, it's boys will be boys. I mean, that's what we were raised with.
Well, and I'm afraid that we have a set of people who have power and who believe that way and who are ready to assert that belief. In other words, I worry that women are going to lose what they've gained over the years.
Yes.
Yeah, there's certainly a lot of politicians trying to accomplish that right now.
Yeah, I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting. At some point, the vote will be there. It'll be a question of property ownership or something like that. And you know, it'll happen. I don't know how quickly. I didn't think that I knew something was going to happen with Trump, but I didn't think it would happen. I guess I just didn't think it would happen like that. I don't know how I thought it would happen, but I knew there was going to be some explosion. And
I think that what the problem some of us had was that we saw Trump as being the problem and not realizing that he was just a symptom of the real problem. You know, that we had a bigger problem on our hands. Trump goes away, this other stuff ain't going to go away.
Yeah, he was just
because Trump went away.
He was just a puppet, because you look at the people who have been the organizers behind all of, you know, his misdeeds and his misbehavior. They've been around for a long time. You know, they just found a malleable puppet that they could use to, you know, accomplish what they thought their goals should be. And those folks will be around for a while, with or without him.
His use of language is something that I think that this new Republican Party, whatever the hell is this they've created, has really glommed onto this hate rhetoric. And I mean, they know exactly what to say and how to say it to get people fired up. And that's very scary to me.
Because stuff they never would have said before.
Never. But they've been emboldened and, you know, he can die now. I mean, we've got Matt Gaetz, we've got Ron DeSantis, we've got plenty of people to take his place who are just as fucking crazy.
Yeah, people could get away with that kind of thing because, unlike, you know, in my generation's time, there was media that actually would condemn that kind of, you know, misbehavior, but that kind of bad language. But now there's media that cheers it on and encourages it and supports it. So now it's like, well, it's okay. The TV set told me it was okay to say that stuff or behave like that.
Yeah. I don't know. I wonder, do you think they'll depose Trump? Well, and if he, I mean, it's looking like he's going to be investigated.
Yeah, so he's before the grand jury.
Yeah.
That's and, always fun.
I wonder if old Mark Meadows is rethinking some things since Bannon just got in. And what's going to happen to Bannon? Is he going to actually go to prison? Because, oh my God, please.
I think he's probably got a get out of jail free card somewhere.
Yeah, he's just hoping that, you know, somebody that he helped out will get in office again so he can get that pardon.
Yeah, because he missed that one. Oops. Oops, didn't get that.
So Trump's use of language is pretty interesting. And, you know, what he really wants to do is cultivate a sense that he's like this powerful, masculine guy. And actually a bully. And he sort of relishes the idea of being the bully. You know, a lot of people would cringe at the idea of being regarded as a bully, but that's who he wants to be and who he's always been. And he uses language that is very sort of forceful, has an undercurrent of violence.
And the way he delivers his delivery, I mean, I don't know if he worked on that, but there are certain words, you know, his cadence, and then there's some words where he really yells them out at you, like, we're going to walk down to the Capitol. When he does that, it really kind of, I want to know where he thinks he's putting these exclamation points.
Well, he's been influenced by a lot of these evangelical conservatives who, if you go to one of their services, that's what you hear. That's the vocal manipulation you hear in those kind of services. God is going to condemn you to hell. Only they say it a lot louder than that.
Yeah.
And that's a characteristic of, you know, the whole evangelical conservative movement is they do that sort of thing. And they don't just say, well, you need to agree with me. They get in your face and scream and yell until.
And that's another thing.
You know, hell,
they like to use fear.
Oh, yes. Fear of going to hell.
Like, they keep using these different names. Like, now all of a sudden, Marjorie Taylor Greene is a Christian nationalist. Just all of a sudden, she decided that that's what she is.
Well, she's always been a nationalist. She just put Christian on to give it
It's
like tying a little pink bow on it and make it really, you know.
Right. But at first, she was just a nationalist, right? But then now it's very important for some reason to add a word. It's that word. I think we all know why it's important, but it's interesting to me because they are really coming forward with this God thing. Herschel Walker's pushing it. It's Matt Gaetz, all of those people in his realm are really pushing this. What did Boebert say? She said, there is no such thing as a separation of church and state anymore. Don't tell me that lie. I mean,
they're angling for a theocracy.
Well, and they're not necessarily wrong, but it's not supposed to be that way.
Yeah, they're angling for a theocracy, but only one that they can control. There's all sorts of theocracies out there.
Well, I mean, that's sort of, you know, you only want to have a God that's your pal.
Yeah, it's got to be your God, not somebody else.
And that carries water for you, you know.
And right now, you don't want to
acknowledge any God that represents, you know, the others. Right. You know, Trump does a very interesting, subtle thing to, speaking of like othering, He doesn't talk about women or gays or blacks. He says the women or the gays or the blacks. Mm-hmm. Have you ever noticed that?
Puts that distance. They're different from us. That's the best way to do it. And you're right. It's very subtle. Is he a fucking genius at this particular thing?
Yeah.
And is it because I feel like it has to be a sociopathic narcissistic thing or he wouldn't be interested in it.
Well, I'm sure, there have been successful movements leveraging these strategies. And I believe that he studied them all along.
Do you think he
knows how to work the crowd.
I mean, that can come naturally to people. I just don't think he's smart enough to have studied Hitler and Stalin.
I think that he's definitely studied Hitler and Stalin.
I don't think he's
smart about a lot of things, but one thing I think he is smart about is how to work people.
I think he's smart about how to work people, but my grandfather was pretty good at it too. He didn't know too much about Christian nationalism or anything like that. I mean, this guy just had a lot of money. And he's a charming, he can be charming.
Who, your grandfather?
No, Trump.
Oh, I got confused. Yeah, well, he says he has a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, he has a lot of money that he's indebted to get that money. And that's the one thing I've been waiting. When the bill comes due to all these people that have financed all of his schemes, he may not be as rich as he hopes.
If he's president again, it ain't going to matter. He is going to executive order everybody to stop looking at his stuff. He will clear himself. That apparently, from what I understand, in my reading and studying on this, that he is the one reason that he wants to get back in there is so that he can cover his ass and not go to prison.
Oh yeah.
He can pardon himself.
I think that he told somebody that explicitly and it's kind of an obvious thing, but can he get elected? I don't really think that he can even get nominated.
Yeah. A blooper reel from his career so far will be good to use in a campaign if he tries to run, because he's really added to. I mean, he kind of squeaked through and got elected one time, despite all that insane stuff that was out there.
He kind of got elected.
He stole that election.
Yep, successfully stolen election right there, just like in 2000, but it wasn't him that time.
But if you have indictments coming at you, that's doesn't look real good in a political ad.
Marion Barry did fine.
Scare me.
Well, what do you guys think? Okay, just the very back to language. I saw Merrick Garland getting interviewed about whether or not the DOJ was going to go after Trump. And he said, no one is above the law and we are going to go where the evidence takes us and prosecute anyone who's done any wrongdoing. And she said, okay, so does that mean you're investigating Trump? And then he just said the exact thing again. He did not.
He can't tell you who he's investigating or what he's doing.
Yeah,
but he could have said,
"He's never done that." It's not something that an investigator is going to be public about. It kind of tells them where, you should go hide because we're looking at you.
Well, people got, because it was leaking so much in the Trump years, people got the idea that they should, or that they would know what's going on at the Department of Justice. But that's extremely unusual for a DOJ to be anything but fairly locked down about investigations and cases and so forth. And I kept hearing people complain that Merrick Garland's not doing anything. I said, if he was doing something, there's no way you would know it, because he is professional enough and smart enough that he's not about to publicize the actions that they're taking. And the way that you find out what the Justice Department is up to is when they actually have to start doing things that are more public, you know, or, you know, maybe there's a grand jury and a little bit of stuff leaks out about what's going on in the grand jury and so forth. But for the most part, those investigations are really locked down until it's time for them to like charge people.
I think people are super, super gun shy about this because of the Mueller report. We waited and waited and it was Mueller time. We're all excited. And the Mueller report came out and was basically, the truth was kind of blocked for us by Bill
Barr.
Yeah,
it was an incriminating report and it was misrepresented by Barr.
And nothing happened. And so everybody is just like biting their nails going, something's got to give here, right?
Yeah, it's hard to do a decent investigation if the people that are supposed to be doing the enforcement are against it, are fighting it and holding it back. That happened during the Nixon administration. It was hard to get rid of him because he controlled all of those branches.
Yep. What is the thing? Is it fear of prison? Is that the one thing that keeps people from that makes people cooperate and realize what they've done? Do they really feel bad about it, or are they just sorry they got caught?
I don't know.
That one guy just got 5 years.
It's hard to know what's really going on inside somebody's head, but it's a known phenomenon that when people get caught, they become a bit contrite, you know. And think about those guys who were in the Nixon White House and how they became,
pariahs.
Having to go to jail because of the stuff that they did made them think a bit about it, you know?
That's kind of why I'd like some people to go to jail. So maybe they could think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of these people from the insurrection that have been prosecuted and pled guilty and rolled over and testified, basically they thought they were doing a cool thing, and you feel it. Impervious until someone locks you up and says you're going to jail, and that suddenly you have to consider, did I make a wrong turn there?
And here's the reason. Here's the guy who sent you there who said, I'll walk down there with you. And I don't know if y'all remember some of the first rallies he would talk about punching people and telling the cops, don't put them in, don't be too nice with them, when you put them in there, let them hit their heads, that sort of thing. He was stoking violence from the get-go, Get that guy out of here. Boy, I'll tell you, back in the old days, they would have taken him out on a stretcher. I think most of us, if we didn't cognitively see it, we were somehow aware of it in our cells that something was coming. I think we all must have, on some collective unconscious level, known it was coming. I just felt it was going to explode.
It's all part of the great cosmic unconsciousness.
Yes, it is. It is part of it.
For all of his tough talking, Trump, from what some of the stuff I've read, he wasn't really that much of a tough guy. He was pretty just the entitled rich boy that hired someone else to go punch somebody. He wasn't
really. Well, he had bone spurs. What was he supposed to do?
Yeah, he was a real hero.
Poor little.
He's kind of a wimp, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. You know he is. I would just, this Herschel Walker thing is kind of out of control. What do you guys think about that particular race? I
would be surprised if he won the race. He really, He's not very smart.
No,
it's just the typical, you know, I'm a failed jock. I no longer, you know, matter to my fans. So I have to stir up something, and they just try to, you know, whatever bandwagon will allow them to get on.
It's just insane. Anyone can run for this if they have money. It doesn't matter if they're completely nuts or if they've never, you know, I mean, it's.
Well, the Texas State House is full of those kind of folks.
Oh, I can't wait to go back to the bathroom bills, y'all. This is going to be so fun because we haven't done this enough.
Yeah, they're doing, they're going to bring up all the usual buzzwords and probably invent a few more.
Yep. I'm looking forward to a special session.
Special in quotes. It's a very special session. They're very special legislators.
We are coming up on the voting day for, what is that, November 8th?
Yep.
Do we know who's right? Do we know who's running here in Austin and for what? I know I'm personally going to vote for Kirk Watson as of right now.
I'm pretty interested in this gubernatorial race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, is Beto going to pull it off, or is it just going to be?
He's getting closer and closer in the polls, anyway.
Man, but,
you know, the thing is that Greg Abbott has just handed him all sorts of ammunition.
Oh,
you know, he's just been terrible. He's been a terrible governor.
Yeah, the latest thing with Abbott's, you know, let's bus all the illegal immigrants to Washington, D.C., and now it's become a big deal. He's created a humanitarian crisis up there with, you know, thousands of people with nowhere to go. And they're just dumping them on the nation's capital. That can only, you know, keep going for so long before it really looks bad.
Well, it's, you know, it's hard to... it's hard to rationalize some of the failures, like the electric grid failure.
Yeah.
That's definitely hanging around his neck right now. And
you mean Biden has the grid? I thought he fixed the grid. He said he fixed the grid.
No, he didn't.
And, you know, he's done a lot of weird things. Like he sent, I don't know, was it the National Guard? Anyway, he sent officers to the border.
Yeah.
Supposedly to help down there. But what they really did was they sent them down to protect wealthy people's ranches.
The ones he's going to take.
Yeah, they were parked in front of, you know, in the gates of a lot of the wealthy ranchers down there who were nowhere near the border.
And the, you know, people are speaking of language, there's a term, open borders. And I was having a conversation with somebody about that today, thinking about it, you know, the border generally, it can be one of three ways. It can be closed or open, or it can be controlled, which is kind of like a controlled border is one where you do let some people through, but you control who gets through. That's really the way our borders have been all along. And there was really strong advocacy from open borders coming from supposed conservatives. Like I ran across an article today that was kind of like a summary article in Reason Magazine, which is a conservative publication, about all of these conservatives who had been advocating hard for open borders and thinking that that would be a great thing. You know, I'm not sure what all their rationales were, but on the right, they're saying that the Biden administration wants open borders, or that Democrats want open borders, and that, do you really want to have open borders? And it's like, well, first of all, we don't have open borders. We have never had open borders. Well, actually, we have. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say that. In my lifetime, I don't think we've had open borders. Before that, I mean, there were times in the past where borders were fairly open. I think they were always controlled to some extent, though.
Well, John, remember the Bracero program? That was a kind of an open border thing, and that was very popular with the conservatives because they owned ranches and farms, and they needed the labor to come over from Mexico. And there was not a lot of grief about that because it helped them pay people, you know, ridiculously low wages and treat them badly, just, you know, in the cause of, you know, making a lot of money on their farm or their ranch. And that was very much a popular thing with the Republicans. You know, growing up in West Texas, that the Bracero program was a big deal. It saved a lot of ranchers from having to pay out decent wages and take care of their employees.
You say, you wonder, why is it that suddenly these people are against having open borders? I mean, it's sort of like the abortion thing. People were not so deadly opposed to abortion, and it wasn't the same kind of controversy in the past.
You know, the COVID vaccine was made from stem cells, just you know, from fetal stem cells.
Yeah, that's what they say.
But, you know, when they really started, you know, pushing the, you know, let's keep those immigrants out, a lot of businesses were really impacted by that. Construction, farming,
you
know, all the agriculture in South Texas, they were devastated because they're not going to get some, you know, entitled white kid to come and chop cotton for 10 cents an hour.
You guys remember?
Yeah, it became an issue when Trump was elected because Trump wanted to build a wall. Mm-hmm. And he was actually kind of using that idea of open borders as a way to scare people. You know, you know, all those rapists in Mexico are going to cross the border and take your women, that kind of thing.
Right.
And it's like just crazy, you know, crazy town.
Yeah. All those unaccompanied minors are going to be bringing in bags full of fentanyl.
Yeah.
But you can win a lot of people over with fear. Are playing to their fear. But it's hard to win reasonable people over that way. So the question is, how many people are really going to buy into that? Probably not as many as you might think, because I know there are people who voted for Trump for other reasons. They didn't vote for Trump because they believed any of his bullshit or because they thought that even that they didn't even think he would necessarily be the best president, but he was kind of like there, and he was the one who was running, and he was going to be the guy that would kind of give them what they want. I mean, basically, he sold himself as the face of the Republican Party, and they bought it. And at the same time, they were bringing in all these they were changing their emphasis. They were changing their focus to basically kind of get working class people on board. Though there's a question about who is the working class now. Somebody was talking about this working class thing earlier, and I was saying, well, I really don't think the division was that they got the working class people. It was more that they got the rural people. But that's not exactly right either. But they got people who were, supposedly conservatives were really smart, and the Republicans thought they were better than Democrats because they were really smarter than the Democrats. But now what the Republican Party has done is it's actually catering to people who, it's like they really want people who aren't very smart, but they can get them to go to the polls and vote. And the problem with that is that if you open your door to that and all those people come in, they're going to have an effect on your party that you may, there may be unintended consequences. Yeah, and I think there has been. And I think that the Republican Party, as it was kind of before this whole like populist movement infiltrated it,
Yeah, once you let these people in the door, they're not going to want to leave.
Well, they're probably kind of realizing the error of their ways by now. And that's one of the reasons that I don't think that I kind of don't think Trump's going to be able to run again. The biggest signal we had about that was this week when the Murdoch publications, you know, the New York Post and the Wall Street Journal both made it clear that they thought it would be a terrible idea for Trump to run for president again or to get nominated again. And there's a lot of people who are talking about how they'll throw their support behind Ron DeSantis because he's kind of a more sane and rational version of Trump.
Or sane and rational?
He's sane and rational.
He can put that on. That's the thing Trump can't do. Ron DeSantis can look sane and rational and not scream at people, you know, and then we don't know what's going on with him because he probably is a crazy person in real life, but he's able to present himself.
I don't think he is a crazy person. And actually, Trump may not be as crazy as we think he is, but it's really hard not to think so. What kind of crazy, you know, is maybe another question. Like this whole thing about his obsession with the election and how he really seems to believe that he won the election.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Of course, I don't know. Surely he doesn't really believe that.
Well, all the things that his staff has said about his behavior kind of leads me to believe he really believes that stuff. He's deluded himself. And I have a lot of friends that are that way. They get stuck on some belief and they cannot turn it loose no matter how bad it is for them and no matter how delusional it is.
Mm-hmm.
I see him as just being a delusional old dude.
Obsessive. Right. And obsessive.
Yeah. And so, I mean, he's a narcissist. He's like classic fucking narcissist, you know. It's all about appearances. It's all about form over function for him, you know.
I'm a little unclear about whether DeSantis has like that problem. I think to some extent, anybody who gets into politics has a weird ego thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, you have to.
Unless they really want to be a public servant. And, you know, there's not that many politicians these days who are thinking about doing public service.
Not so much.
It's more about gain.
Yeah. Personal gain. We've got to figure out a different way to do these senators and Congress people. I don't think South Dakota needs two senators. I'm sorry.
I don't think they just need any.
I don't either. I think Dakota should just be one thing and they could have a senator. It should be based on how many people live there who need to be represented, not because you're just a state.
Well, I mean, after they've seceded, you won't have to worry as much about them.
Yeah,
well,
no.
Texas is going to secede, too.
Yeah.
That's what, you know.
Yeah, wait till those retirees can't get their Medicare. And
thank you.
And their Social Security is like, okay.
What do you mean? Well,
that's another point. Those guys would really like to shut down the Social Security system, but what's going to happen if they really do that?
Yeah, are they
so bad? It's going to be so bad.
You'll have like all the weapons sales will be going into the nursing homes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You'll have some militias that'll scare the crap out of you. You know, you've got a 80-year-old guy with a bunch of weapons and a head full of. Antidepressants.
Oh God!
We're laughing about it, but you know that's if they actually did shut down Social Security, elderly people like us would be screwed.
And the fact is that if he is reelected, he is going to have carte blanche. He's going to do whatever the hell he wants.
Who is he?
That fucking guy.
Trump,
Oh, you're talking about TFG, the former guy?
Mm-hmm. Oh, the former guy. Is that what you call him?
I don't think he's gonna. I can't imagine that they're gonna nominate him or that. It I, just it doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense that they would actually buy into that.
Okay, but then you think about like Mitch McConnell and all of these people who've said, oh no, we think he's a horrible person. He would, I don't think he should run again. Well, hell yes, I'll vote for him if he's on the ticket. I mean, it doesn't matter who. Yeah.
Well, you look at what he said this week in his speech in Washington, you know, that was just some scary ass stuff. I think, you know, he is trying to really pull out every dog whistle in his,
his agenda
there. Well, it's time to go, folks. That was a lot of fun, and I'm sure we'll probably be incarcerated for the things we said about all these fine folks.
Censored.
Yeah, I know. We really probably ought to just bury this somewhere. This whole conversation.
Under a rock in the Well, thank you, folks. That was fun. What do we do next?
It was fun.
It was fun. Thanks, y'all.
Well,
next week, it seems like we were going to, no, maybe not. I don't know what we're doing next week. Somebody come up with an idea. Find a guest.
All right.
We'll see you then.
Bye.
All right. See ya.
Good night. You can follow the Plutopia News Network at plutopia.io. On Facebook, go to @PlutopiaNews. On Twitter, it's @Plutopia. This is the Plutopia News Network, 20 minutes into the future.